At long last, it's here. The first ever Crowley Time album, Discount Bin. From Tom Crowley, and featuring guest musicians Alex Beechin and Odin Orne-Hilmarsson.
I am a space cartographer, a charter of the sky.
Featuring songs from the podcast, former Patreon exclusives.
All of us reaching down to our phones for an emergency call.
Emergency call.
And many new and remastered tracks.
I keeps my brain in my head.
Go to CrowleyTime.com and buy Discount Bin, the music of Crowley Time Volume 1, today.
Hello, patrons of Bonzo's Dreamtime Circus. Just a couple of announcements. We have just discovered a half-eaten deep-fried Twix in the mechanism of the Hell Scream teacup ride, so please, please don't do that anymore. We also have a lost child who was being looked after at the security cabin, but we are sorry to announce that we have since lost him again. And for the next 30 minutes, hold on to your hats, because it's Crowley time.
Hello, and welcome to Crowley Time with me, Tom Crowley. With me, Tom Crowley. There's an old adage which states that every person in the world has two wolves inside of them. That might sound frightening, but before you book in an emergency X-ray appointment, don't worry. These wolves are metaphorical. It's less a fable about having a parasitic wolf infestation inside your human body, and more an emotional sort of thing. But I digress. This is how the adage goes. You have two wolves inside of you. One of them is called Oliver, and the other one is called Dave. Oliver only likes chicken, whereas Dave prefers steak. If you had both of them over for dinner at the same time, inside the dining room of your body, I suppose, then what would you serve? The answer is self-respect. No, hang on, that's not it. I'll look it up later. Anyway, more importantly, I hope you and both of your wolves are all ready for another dose of sketches, characters, and etc. in this jam-packed episode. And I also hope you're ready for another exciting new release. That's right. As you'll have heard at the start of this episode, the first ever Crowley Time album, Discount Bin, has just launched. You can purchase it as a digital download from GarageBand via the link at CrowleyTime.com for the paltry price of just £5.99, or your local currency's equivalent. The album contains songs featured in the podcast, some remastered with brand new arrangements, as well as songs that were previously Patreon exclusive, and also some brand new compositions. I even got my good friends, musical virtuosos Alex Beechin and Odin Orne-Hilmarsson, to contribute new instrumentation to a couple of tracks. And the sound? Mwah! Delicious. So please do go to CrowleyTime.com and follow the link to buy the album right after you've finished listening to this episode. Unless you're already one of my loyal Patreon supporters, in which case the album is, at this very moment, downloadable from your Patreon account as this episode's bonus material. Enjoy. You've earned it. But enough of the sales pitch. Saddle up your wolves and let's ride off into the show. Boss, you're going to want to look at this. This could be the key.
It better be, Welk. I've blasted through three livers since that rich bastard got himself done in.
You remember we heard that the victim had drawn up a new will?
Yes.
Well, it's finally come through from the lawyer. Look here.
This version's dated just a month before he died.
Exactly. And 1 week after his divorce. The ex-wife's out, and check out who inherits the company. The estate, the properties, everything.
Donaldson. His old second in command.
Both Donaldson and the wife knew about the new draft. In fact, they were the only ones who did know, besides his solicitor. We've been looking at the wife, but why would she do away with her husband when she knows she's not going to get anything?
But Donaldson? Qui bono? Who benefits?
What's that?
I was just saying, qui bono? Who benefits?
Yeah, I know what qui bono means.
Well, all right then.
I know it means who benefits, that's what it means.
What are you getting at?
I just think it's a bit condescending, Gov, to instantly translate the expression assuming I didn't know what it means.
I didn't know whether you did know what it means.
You know I studied law for 3 years.
Good for you.
Even if I hadn't studied law for 3 years, I'd probably have butted up against that expression at some point after 6 years of working as a police inspector.
Yes, all right, all right.
And even if I hadn't been a police inspector for 6 years, I like to think I'm a curious and intelligent enough person to have encountered a commonplace expression like qui bono before. I've read books and things in my life, you know.
It's not that common an expression.
You do it all the bloody time.
I do not.
You do. At O'Farrell's retirement party, you made your speech, held up your glass and shouted, "Slauncher, to your health." Nobody knew where to look.
You're just taking a couple of
No. My wedding, my bloody wedding, you gave a speech, which I appreciated very much.
And you're welcome, by the way.
And at the end of it, you said something about observing these joyous nuptials, looked me straight in the eye and said, "That means wedding, Jamie." My father looked completely humiliated.
Look, where's all this coming from? We're supposed to be busting a flipping murderer here. We're in media res, in the middle of a case.
There!
No, that wasn't...
Oh. You did it again, you just did it. Oh my God, right in my face, just as we're talking about it. The gall of you.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Which means for the sake of Pete, Jamie. Go on, you know you want to.
Look, you want to know why I do that all the time?
Yes I do.
Really?
Yes, please.
Well, we're characters in a TV show, right?
Yeah.
You and me, we're both fictional characters in a police procedural.
Yes, and?
Well, if I explain really obvious stuff to you and act as though you need these things explaining, even though you're a perfectly intelligent human being.
Yeah.
Then the viewers feel better about the fact that they needed it explained to them, and they get to pretend they're not thick.
Oh. Is that why we both keep summarising the case so far as well?
That's right.
Like at the start of this conversation when I said, "You remember we heard that the victim had drawn up a new will," even though you already knew that.
Exactly.
I mean, I literally said, "You remember," so I knew that you knew.
That's exactly the sort of thing I'm talking about.
Is that why you keep telling me how autopsies work, even though I work on the murder squad as well?
Yes.
And why you keep telling that new lady sergeant about how many women you've slept with?
No, that's for a different thing.
Okay, well, sorry, boss, I didn't realise.
That's all right, you weren't to know.
All right, well, do you want to say something in a grave voice, and then we'll teleport to the place we're supposed to be next?
Sure you don't mind?
No, please.
Then we've got a board meeting to crash.
Ah, officers, what can I do for you?
See, that was easy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I like the music too.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Donaldson. You're fucking nicked, sunshine!
Oh no!
Two wolves. Oh yeah, that's it. Okay, there are two wolves inside of you. One of them always tells the truth, and the other one cannot lie. No, hang on. Oh, forget it. Let's see if we've had any calls.
Hello, this is Crowley Time with me, Tom Crowley, We can't take your call at the moment. Please leave your message after the tone.
This is Link Tangent, Space Cartographer. Make sure to buy the new Crowley Time album Discount Bin to hear my brand new rock and roll ballad, Cartographer of Love.
I feel like the cartographer of love.
Thanks, Link. Who knew he had such sweet pipes? Anyway, it's time for an advert now. I was a little uneasy about playing this ad as it's for a gambling enterprise. But anyway, the client reassured me that this particular outfit is trying really hard to promote a healthy relationship with gaming. So I said, what the heck? Roll tape.
Looking for a thrill? Pay packet burning a hole in your pocket? Longing to roll with the highest rollers around? Then come down to the Platinum Swan Casino Didcot and roll those bones. We've got all the world's most popular gaming attractions, including poker, blackjack, roulette, that buzzing electric model horse racing game, slot machines, and betting on whether someone can do that thing where you stab the knife between your fingers really fast. When you visit Platinum Swan, the house will match your first £100 worth of casino tokens, giving you a head start at the tables. That's £100 to gamble away worry-free. You'll double down, raise 'em, and say, hit me, without a care in the world. Watch the faces fall around the table as you reveal that ace in the hole. Throw double sixes and take home everything on the deck. Crank the handle and watch the fruit line up in front of your hungry eyes. And when that first 100's gone, it's all down to you.
But it's not all down to you to set your limits. Here at Platinum Swan, we take gambling addiction very seriously. In consultation with government ministers and experts in compulsive disorders, we've come up with a comprehensive strategy to help you ensure that you can stop when you need to, with our help. But if you're in control and feeling flush, then get back out onto that floor and bet the house on red. You're the king of the wheel, watching that ball bounce around like a coquettish little minx before dropping right where you want it. And just like that ball, you're on a roll. So put your money down and spin that wheel, amigo. You're looking good. You're feeling good. You're a sex Jesus. You're James Bond. You're a combination of Idris Elba and that camel that used to sell cigarettes. You're trying to explain to your wife why you're going to have to default on this month's mortgage payment. You're looking at the leak in your son's bedroom ceiling and praying it won't get worse before payday. You're wishing you'd held back when that little voice of doubt chirped up. You're wishing you could turn back the clock. You're wishing for the impossible. Which is why at the Platinum Swan Casino Didcot, we have your safety in mind. Our staff are trained to recognize the signs of compulsive gambling and step in where needed. They'll show you to our purpose-built cool-down lounge with its own restaurant, bar, and information leaflets, so you can take a breath and ask yourself, am I really in control? Then when you've stopped being a huge pussy, you can blast back onto the casino floor like a mighty stallion with a huge floppy cock that's jizzing dice out of the end of it, and every face on every dice is a seven. Your wife doesn't love you. Your children are ugly. Your job is a sick lie perpetrated by an uncaring and cruel society. And the only way to escape the hellish cycle of your tortured existence is more gambling. Got a holiday fund? Gamble it. Got some savings for your kids' university fees? Gamble it. Got a wedding ring? Sell it at our in-house pawn shop and then gamble it. But wait. You've worked hard for a long time to build up a nest egg for yourself and your partner's retirement. It'd be a shame to lose it all now for nothing but a cheap thrill. It's easy to get carried away. That's why, at the Platinum Swan Casino Didcot, we allow you to set your own limits. Our triple deadlock limit system ensures that when you tell us where your line is, we won't let you cross it. Unless you go get some cash out from the motorway services across the street and come back in wearing a hat and some sunglasses, then who'd expect us to have any idea who you are? So get back to the gambling, and if you don't feel like gambling, have another drink in the cool-down lounge and see if you feel like gambling then. Look at the flashing lights. Look at all those machines vomiting out an ocean of pound coins for all those lucky punters. Look at the 20-year-old waitresses in the tight leather basques serving drinks. They'd never be interested in a pudgy middle-aged creep like you, but they might be interested in the man who won all the gambling. Complying with the oppressive restrictions of what is deemed to be socially appropriate behavior is fascist anyway. Or at least you're pretty sure you saw a tweet which said something like that. So gamble. Gamble on cards. Gamble on dice. Gamble on whether our head waiter can fit his entire fist in his mouth. Gamble on the knife fights in the car park out the back. Gamble on whatever you want. Just make sure you're gambling and make sure you're doing it at the Platinum Swan Casino Didcot. The Platinum Swan Casino Didcot. Gamble aware.
Right, well, that's the last time I trust an advertiser who signs his emails, kind regards, fat stacks. Let's check the messages.
Hello, I'm English heritage singer Walter Jeggings Kratt. I died in 1991. Buy the new Crowley Time album Discount Bin, featuring the studio recording of my hit parade smash, The Humper, or else be branded an uncultured oaf.
Thanks, Walter. Delighted to have your contribution. That's funny. Kratt. Why does that name sound so familiar? Oh, never mind. Anyway, back to the show.
Excuse me.
I think these are our seats.
Okay, do you have my milk duds?
Yes, I've got them in my purse, Bob.
Okay, thanks. I'll save them for later.
Gee, I hope they don't all do a standing ovation at the end.
Bob, keep your voice down.
Unless it's been something really, truly special.
Not this again.
I'm just saying it. It used to be you'd only do a standing ovation if you'd just seen something that had really knocked your socks off.
I know.
These days, it's every single time. And God forbid you go see a musical. It's like a darn pop concert at the end of every single song.
They're just enthusiastic, Bob.
They probably have to cut songs just to make room for all the standing ovations.
Oh, Bob, what harm does it do? Oh, it's starting.
Jacob Tyler Hinckley, may God have mercy on your soul. He's gone.
Jeez, what did I tell you? Here we go.
Oh, just stand up and clap, Bob.
Personally, I'm torn. On the one hand, I do think the gesture of the standing ovation has become less meaningful as it's become more commonplace, but on the other hand, I'm completely against capital punishment in all circumstances. Maybe I should consult my two wolves. One of them's in favour of everything, and the other is against... No, hang on, I still don't think that's it. Is it something to do with those two wolves that were on What's Up Doc? No, that can't be right. Anyway, listeners, while I try to figure this out, I'm sad to say I'm leaving you in the hands of a very old comedian who goes by the name Spanx McCandle. Blech. I've no idea what he does, but I remember my grandfather mentioning him from time to time. Only when immediately preceded or followed by the phrase, that cavorting tit, mind you. Here he comes. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Watcher, listeners, tug me britches, it's me, Spanx McCandle, old school entertainer. I might be past my best days, but you know what they say. It's not that you're leaving your 120s, it's that you're just getting started with your 130-30s. Yuck, yuck. It's a big day for your old pal Spanx, listeners. Today, for the first time in quite a stretch, I got a phone call from old auntie herself, the Billy Big Bollocks Club, the BBC. First time since I guested on an episode of Question of Sport with Muhammad Ali and old Georgie Best. Well, I said it had been a while, didn't I? Ho-ho! It's going to be such a treat to be nestled in old auntie's pillowy bosom again. What's more... £200 appearance fee. Not too shabby, eh, friends? I'm going to be on some sort of Radio 4 chuff. Today's topic or some crusty old gristle. And that's coming from me. My gristle's so crusty these days, the doctors say I shouldn't worry about this year's Christmas shopping. So, on this discussion programme, they said they was having a chat about comedy, which is exactly the jib of my cut if you get my egg custard, governor. But don't you worry. Old Spanx is no fool, listeners. I know that these days a lot of the old school lads come in for a bit of criticism due to some of their past work no longer being deemed whatchacallit in behindsight. So before I agreed to appear on this chinwag bonanza, I had a little look through me own personal archives and I reckon there's not a thing there that anybody could conceivably take any umbrage with whatso-testicles, Your Honour. Well... this is the place. I wonder if I pick up my cheque on the way in or the way out.
Good morning and welcome to Topic Today. I'm Mariella Horsebox. In light of various controversies surrounding the content of vintage comedy programming, many broadcasters and streaming services are dropping these older shows left and right to avoid causing possible offence to younger viewers. Should we embrace our past mistakes or scrub them from the record? That's our topic today, and to address it, I'm joined by Amanda Gerard of the Better Representation Council.
Good morning, Mariella.
And by our 17th choice, self-described King of the Music Hall, Albert Spanx McCandle.
Morning, ladies. You know what they say, 17th comes right after 16th, done it. Ooh, mind me britches. Ho-ho!
Yes. To turn to you first, Amanda, among the shows dropped by streaming services are British comedies Uncle Roger's Naughty Corner, Look Who's Moved In Next Door, and Jim Davidson's Offence Parlour. Just what is it about these programmes that's so unacceptable?
Well, in the case of those three programmes, it's more a question of what isn't unacceptable about them. But I think there's a broader point we're missing here.
So Amanda says burn the tapes.
No, I wasn't.
Spanx, what say you?
Jim Davidson. He's that young fella coming up on the pub circuit, isn't he? No, I don't like him.
You don't?
No, he pretended he didn't know who I was at the BAFTAs. Jumped up little turd.
So, it seems our two panellists are in agreement, presumably a booking error on our part. Amanda,
just how far are you prepared to go? Scrap Dad's army? Set fire to a giant effigy of Bruce Forsyth?
No, no, look, Mariella, I know what you're doing. You're trying to put me in the position of saying something I don't mean and provoking my fellow guest here.
Sorry, what was that, dear? Something about Frederick Forsyth?
This conversation isn't about banning anything. It's about recognising the ways in which some of this material is damaging and contributes to a wider culture...
Or in other words, old people bad must feel shame. Spanx, do you feel ashamed?
Sorry? Oh, God, I've not let off again, have I?
After all, Mr. McCandle, you yourself have skirted the edge of controversy in your so-called work, haven't you?
Oh, no, no, not me. No fear, I'm squeaky clean, I am. Nothing to do with skirts or anything.
Oh, really? Then you wouldn't consider Blind Willie Robinson to be remotely controversial?
Beg pardon?
What's she talking about?
Yes, in a number of episodes of the variety programme Nick Knacker's Knickknack Shelf, you portrayed what appeared to be a feeble parody of a Southern African-American blues musician who was not in fact blind, but merely pretending to defraud money from a charitable group of nuns.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yes. How is old Nick Knacker these days?
Still dead.
Right.
You spoke at his funeral.
Oh, right. Yes, I knew I'd seen him recently.
This was in 1979.
Ah.
So, Amanda, without wishing to put you on the spot, would you and your revisionist gang of anarchist thought police like to tie this inveterate racist to the back bumper of a lorry and drag him naked through the street?
No, we wouldn't.
Oh, thank Christ for that.
What we would like to do, however, is open up a conversation about whether material like that is appropriate for broadcast and wide distribution today, no matter its original intention. I mean, Spanx, can I ask you, did you take on this role because you wanted to foment ill feeling towards the Afro-Caribbean community?
No, I most certainly did not. I took it on because I was offering 20 quid a week.
Right.
And that's in old money.
So once again, the young firebrand clashes with the backward old relic of a white supremacist entertainment machine.
Oh dear, listeners, this isn't looking too good for old Spanx, is it?
We're not clashing. The real problem here is this... Programmes like this, only interested in stoking the fires of some inane culture war while the real injustices rage outside.
Yes, that's right. Right on, sister.
Miss Gerard, please, if you carry on like this, you risk turning this into a very compelling and trend-friendly argument.
You've booked us on this programme together in the hopes that I'll come across as unreasonable and he'll come across as horrendous. Then you can selectively edit the conversation to make it look like an embarrassing fracas and turn it into a viral internet clip.
Have you been speaking to our marketing people?
Miss Horsebox, shame on you, manoeuvring an innocent old showman like myself into such a position. I'll have you know, I fought the Nazis in Pardon Me, My War's Gone Cold, an Ealing comedy from 1955.
Well, the temperature certainly seems to have risen here in the studio.
No, look, you're just trivialising an important conversation.
Miss Gerard, please, you're coming across as conveniently unreasonable. History, what do you think people are going to
do? I think I'll just show myself out, hey, listeners. To our ladies, and cheers for the frothy coffee. Well, that was a narrow escape, wasn't it? Oh, God, me pacemaker. I think this is it. Here I come, Mum. Oh, no, hang on, it's just me phone. Hello? It's who? I didn't know I had an agent. I ain't heard from you in 20 years. What's that? Good morning, Britain. I never heard of it. A regular spot, you say? 500 quid a show. Yoo-hoo! Tell them I'll be there with bells on me knob. Who'd have thought it, eh, friends? Spanx McCandle is back on top. Hoo-hoo! How's that for a happy ending? Catch you on the flip side, listeners. Be lucky. Now, where is it I live again?
What a dreadful old man. My apologies, listeners. With any luck, we'll never hear from him again. Let's check the messages as a palate cleanser.
What's up, assholes? It's me, Mike Shinbone. I ain't got no song on that new discount bin record, but goddamn, I can't stop tapping my toes and slapping my dick to that Link Tangent song. I'm gonna be the cartographer of love. Fuck me, that's catchy.
Thanks, Mike. More explicit than was strictly necessary, but fine.
Well, listeners, I'm delighted to say that after consulting various books of quotations and cross-referencing a number of online sources, I've discovered that the actual adage about the two wolves, the one often attributed to a Cherokee Native American, was made up by American evangelical Christian Billy Graham as a parable about original sin. And the characters in the story are Cherokee Native Americans because the Inuit community was angry at a previous version featuring Inuit characters. This has caused quite a bit of upset over the years, because the concept of original sin and the persistent presence of evil influences within us is much more a Christian value than one attached to any branch of indigenous North American spirituality. So, ultimately, the real wisdom of the two wolves parable is if you sort of half remember something, best not to look into it any further in case the truth behind it is unpleasant. But one thing you absolutely should look up is the new Crowley Time album Discount Bin, available as a digital download via crowleytime.com right now. A lot of love and effort has been poured into the album by me and by guest musicians Alex Beechen and Odin Orne Hilmarsson, and as well as being a wise and rewarding purchase, it's also a great way to support me directly in making this program. If you've wanted to chuck some dosh into the Crowley Time coffers, but you're put off by the ongoing commitment of a Patreon subscription, then this is the item of merchandise for you. That's crowleytime.com. But, like I said at the beginning of the show, if you're already a supporter of this program on Patreon, or if you become one now, then you'll get a copy of the album as your bonus reward for this episode. Go to patreon.com/crowleytime to sign up as a supporter, or to log in and claim your copy. The next episode will be released as soon as Discount Bin has gone platinum in the hearts and minds of the podcast listening public. So make sure to subscribe, so you'll be alerted at the precise moment that happens. Everything you've just heard was made by me, Tom Crowley. Please submit all praise, questions, or complaints to @atomcrowley on Twitter. To help me offset the costs of hiring real musicians for my album, go to patreon.com/crowleytime and become a supporter today. And remember, there are two wolves inside of you, so when you next break wind, don't be alarmed if you make a little awoo sound. And as a reward for listening all the way to the end of the credits, here's a little preview of track 2 of Discount Bin, a song entitled The Song About This Album.
Hello and welcome to Crowley Time, with me, Tom Crowley.
With me, Tom Crowley.
It is a sketch show released as a podcast by me, Tom Crowley.
By me, Tom Crowley.
The show consists of sketches, characters, and messages in bottles from unknown shores. In real terms, this mostly means listening to just the same man for half an hour or more. And this album collects the various songs composed for that particular show. It's been released as a fundraising measure, and if you've bought it, here's what you need to know. Some songs appeared on the show. Some songs were bonuses on Patreon. Some songs were made just by me, and some other songs have friends of mine on. You might notice the name Alex Beechen on a song in the style of a novelty hit. Mr. Beechen is a musical genius, and without him it would have sounded like shit. Likewise, there's Odin Hilmarsson on a song themed around a spacefaring man.